1. Begin transmission.
Vreister Pleish, Dar Numae. 1930, Ute Se. Miamni Tesk Diochitai. You're listening to the Dubious Goals Committee. My name's Tobe. I do not speak Romanian. Don't be fooled by what you might hear on this dubious of all radio shows. What am I doing? Where am I? I'm confused. What's happening here? Well, I had a busy and boring and horrible day, and somebody needs to get punched. No, I need to go out and buy a cricket bat, and I need to remove somebody's head with a cricket bat. Who wants to get hit in the head with a cricket bat? Well, most of the people I've been running into all day. So instead of dealing with any more people, I've decided to come out here to Herrenhaven. Not only is it 1930 UTC, it's about 1945 local time, which is, of course, CDT, American CDT. And I just got home like 10 minutes ago, and I thought, you know, I might still have time to go to Herrenhaven and look for some dudes. Better take the camera out of my pocket. It's another lovely day, or evening. It is twilight. We're here for golden hour. We gotta find those goslings, although they're probably getting ready to go night-night. It's about, it's better than 60 degrees. There's very little, if any, wind. I've got my shorts on and my slightly bluer blue shirt. But Tobe, is what you're thinking. Aren't all of your shirts blue? No, I actually have some gray shirts. And I have a purple shirt that I never wear. Or I'm saving that for a special occasion. I keep thinking I'm hearing something over here. Is there a dude over there? Is there a turkey wandering through the underbrush? Could be. Could be. But yeah, you're also probably thinking, well, Tobe, if you have your dark blue shorts on and a slightly lighter blue shirt, aren't you wearing your Finn the Human outfit? Okay, one, Finn the Human copied me. And two, no, this isn't quite the right blue shirt to be wearing for my Finn the Human outfit, which, I'm sorry, but his clothes should be called Tobe clothes. You know, if I ever go to a convention, all I'd have to do would be to make a sword out of styrofoam, no problem, and get a green backpack, and I could go as Finn. I got the awesome hat and everything. And then I was thinking, you know, if I was going to be one of those people who feel compelled to dress up as cartoon characters, if I was going to be one of those people and go to a dressing up convention, I might have to go as Rick from Rick and Morty, because I think I have all the appropriate clothes for that. You know, he's just got the brown pants, the funny belt, he's got a light blue shirt, and the lab coat, which, you know, no problem. But he does have the blue hair that stands up on end, which, I don't know. I don't know if I could pull that off somehow, but I don't know. Let me think about it. That's why I do better as Finn the Human, because I've got the long hair. It's not blonde. But hey, like I said, they copied me. I was Tobe way before Finn the Human ever got invented. By the way, his original name was Penn, named after his creator, Pendleton Ward. And bingo, I'm walking out onto the boardwalk, and I can see over at the weir, there is a goose family. Two adult goosers and one, two, three, four, five. Now they're moving. Is there six? They're so hard to count when they're moving. And there's bugs. I'm inhale. Ah, damn it. Right up my nose. Oh, now I have bug boogers. Again. As usual. Bugs always trying to fly up my nose. Hey, where are they going? The goosers are leaving the... 1, 2, 3, 4... Yeah, there's six. Six baby goslings. Goslers. And they're leaving the weir. They are... They're walking back towards the bank. And now they're walking along on the grass. So, okay, that's great. We know we have one herd of six. Six goslers. Six gosler goslings. Oh, look at those babies. They're so yellow that they look green. All right. Now I'm going to walk out to the end of the boardwalk and see if we can see anything else going on. There's another goose pair up here. Do they have anything with them? Nope. Motorcycles. Oh, and that guy's doing a wheelie. 100 yards. 150 yards. He probably put it down. Here comes another one. Oh, it's the whole gang. There they go. Wow. There's about 20 motorcyclists. And these are not your basic Harley knuckleheads. These are your racers. And I wonder if that means they're going to race tonight. It very well could. I see some ducks. And I see some goosers. I see lots of other stuff. Oh, okay. You know, I had to get up early. I had to go to the doctor and do all that stupid doctor stuff. Let's weigh you. Let's see how tall you are. I don't think it has changed since the last time you saw me, since I have to come here every freaking day. That seems like. Anyway. So yeah, I had to get up super early in the morning. And I hate getting up super early in the morning. Hey, see that pair of geese over there?
Oh yeah.
They have goslings. Six of them. Keep watching. You'll see their cute little butts.
Yes, thank you for the tip.
You bet. And so, since I got up early, it means I'll probably want to go to bed early. But if these guys are going to be racing on the interstate tonight at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's right when I'm going to be wanting to go to sleep and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, those gooser goslings, they're just hanging out on the bank. So we're going to head into the forest. There's lots of ripples around here, but it's all fishies and frogs eating. I don't see any scratties. You know, I say that I'm going to go to bed early, which is, you know, in my world means like 1 a.m. But it's not going to happen. You know what's going to happen? So I'm going to get home. I'm going to relax a little bit. I'm going to work on some kind of projects, maybe do something. And then midnight will roll around and I'll be thinking, gosh, I sure wish I could go to bed, and I'll be so wired and so excited I'll stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning as usual. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. The upside to which is I could go watch the motorcycle races. All right, if this is the first time you've heard about any motorcycle racing on this show, or if this is in fact the first time you've ever heard this show, I live, what's over there? What is, just ducks. Ducks swimming underneath some trees. I live within walking distance of the interstate. Or best of all, what I should say is, I live within walking distance of the bypass loop. You know, most large cities, they have a bypass. There's the interstate loop that goes around the city so they don't have to go through the city, right? That's what I live next to. Well, not next to, but a couple blocks away. And This would be, if you want to look it up, this would be 680. I-680. And it's the loop that goes around Omaha on the north side of town. Well, It doesn't see a lot of traffic at night because it's the loop, because it's the bypass and not the direct route. You know, I-80 goes directly through town. And so there's not a lot of traffic at night on the loop. Just because, you know, that's where people traveling and people rush hour and stuff like that. And so, on certain nights, when the weather is warm, all the motorcycle enthusiasts will race. Here's some poop. Oh, poop in the middle of the trail. Seems kind of big to be fox poop, but maybe he's been eating a lot lately, our little fox. So I'm going to walk into the wall blind. There's a fox around here somewhere. I can't smell him. Which way is the wind drifting? Yeah, so anyway, I can just walk up my street 100 yards or less and turn left and walk another block or so, and there is a bridge that goes over the interstate. And it's just a bridge. There's no exits, okay? And so, and there's, you know, a little pedestrian area and everything. So you can stand there and you can watch these motorcycles race in the middle of the night. And when I say middle of the night, I mean like 2, 3, sometimes a little bit later. Sometimes a little bit later. Now I did smell something. And I like to do that on occasion. There's obviously no set schedule as to when they race, although it does tend to be on certain nights. Mostly Sunday nights and Monday nights. Sometimes Tuesdays. And I think some guys like to do practice runs on Wednesday nights sometimes. But generally speaking, these guys race from the Irvington exit to the Maple Street exit before they get to Dodge Street where all the cops are and blah, blah, blah. And, oh my God, are they going fast? This is not, you know, like, oh, it's the Fast and the Furious. We're doing 80 miles an hour on the interstate. Give me a break. That's how fast I drive in during rush hour. Yeah. You don't want to be anywhere near me on the interstate. To me, it's a racetrack, but yeah, no, these guys on these motorcycles are doing 160, 170, and up. I noticed there's some other guys, there's a couple guys with some mighty big bikes. What is that smell? And I could actually tell you exactly how fast they were going if I could get down and measure the dotted lines on the interstate, because, okay, I'm walking into the big blind, geese on the log over here, nothing else going on, nobody's in the delta, everybody's sleeping, everybody's getting ready to go night-night, the pond is turning into soup, there's lots of algae and duckweed and all kinds of stuff growing. There's frogs hopping around. There's fish eating their yummy dinners. I'm looking around the rim looking for herons. I'm looking for foxes. I'm not seeing any other dudes. There's no dudes out here tonight. Where's my snoodlers? Shouldn't there be snoodlers out this late at night? Well, it's not quite dark yet, but this is when raccoons tend to show up. But anyway, one thing I like to do, and this is just a weird thing that I do, is when I am watching these races, I will take pictures. And yes, this is happening in the middle of the night, and yes, I'm too far away to use a flash. So what I do is, you know, I put it on auto, take the flash off, keep it really still, and use the timer mode. Sometimes I even take a tripod with me to do this. And I will just take a picture And, you know, the shutter stays open for about half a second because it's nighttime. It's pitch dark, right? And so I end up getting these photographs where you can just see a very long smear of tail light. And being as the shutter speed or exposure time with a digital camera is constant, I can tell which motorcycles are going faster by how long the red smears of their taillights are. Okay, right? Makes sense, right? Now, the other thing is when these guys are racing and I'm taking these photographs, their own headlights light up the road enough that you can see the dashes, the lane markers. You know, the little stripes on the road, okay? Now, it just so happens that on this part of our interstate, those lines are very regular because they're not painted anymore. They are, you know, iron-on adhesive strips that are all a constant length. So if I could get down there and onto the interstate and measure how long one of those is and what the distance is between them, I could calculate exactly how fast those motorcycles are going just by knowing my shutter speed or exposure time in the case of a CCD and the length of those things. And I want to do that, but you know, you can't walk out onto the interstate with a tape measure and start measuring stuff. You will get hit by cars. I have no interest in getting hit by cars. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Tobe, you could go out there in the middle of the night. Like, well, yeah, I could, but I also don't want to get hit by motorcycles. And blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know. Someday I'll figure it out. I'm also thinking, shouldn't I be able to calculate the distance between these lines just from a photograph? I mean, if I know how high above the road I am, how far away I am, and I know the angle of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, to the things, shouldn't I be able to just do some math? Shouldn't I be able to just do a math problem and know how long those lines are from a photograph? I mean, if I knew how far away from them I was, yeah. Huh. I think there's some trigonometry to be done. Or I could also probably just use algebra. Algebra, trig, either one will do it. I have a feeling that there's a cosine involved in here somewhere. Remember, kids, learn math. Yeah. Math is actually good. I realize that when you're in school and you're learning math, it's kind of dumb and it's stupid because nobody explains to you why you have to know it. You know, when you're in like first grade or second grade, all you do is learn like 2 plus 5. And then you got to learn subtraction. 9 minus 6. You know, well, who cares? You know. But there's a reason that you have to learn this. And then in later grades, you learn multiplication and division. The reason that you have to learn all the dumb math first is because you will need to know it to do all the cool math. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you're not going to get into any cool math until you're in at least like 8th or 9th grade. But once you get into the cool math, things start to get fun. Geometry is awesome. Algebra is awesome. It's kind of a pain in the butt at first, but you actually will need to use algebra later in life, especially if you like science. And if you like to do science, you need to learn algebra. What is algebra? Well, basically it's math with letters. You know, instead of, you know, in a regular math problem, you have 5 times 4. Well, in algebra, you have 5 times x. X being a variable, meaning it could be any number. Okay, so algebra is good math to know if you need to know what a number is, or if you need to know a range of numbers, or it's a good science thing. And if you go far enough in math, then you can learn calculus, which is like a fast way of doing algebra. And yes, I said algebra incorrectly on purpose. Because when I was a kid, me and Booper, we used to hang out with this other kid, and we'll call him, let's call him Greg. And, Greg, he wasn't the sharpest pencil in the box. He wasn't the brightest, but he was entertaining as hell, and he would do anything, so, you know, that's always an upside. But anyway, yeah, when we were like in 7th or 8th grade, when we were starting to do algebra, Greg, he couldn't quite say it right. He couldn't say the word algebra. And it always came out, wait, what was that? I think I might have heard a Mahdi whistle. We're going to keep moving up here. Greg, for the longest time, would say alberja. There it is again. I think I'm hearing Mahdi whistles. I'm not sure. So sometimes, just to be funny, and especially around my friend Booper, I always like to say alberja. Okay. That really, really sounded like a Mahdi whistling. Did you hear that? Wheat? We're going to sneak up here. I'm walking around the butterfly garden, and I know that there's dens back here, and I have a feeling I know where that Mahdi is whistling. Did you hear that? Just wheat? That's a marmot. He's pretty close. Obviously, I can't see him. He's somewhere back in the trees and stuff. Oh my god, that is definitely a Mahdi. And he is over there somewhere. He might be down in that little ravine. God, I really want to record this. That is a Mahdi. That's a Mahdi whistle. If you're wondering why marmots are sometimes called whistle pigs, this is why. You had to have heard that one. Fweet! There's a Mahdi den over there. There's a Mahdi den over there, and I think he's between them somewhere. Did you hear that? Wheat! And that's a Mahdi. He's whistling. Who's he whistling for? Is he whistling for a mate? Is he looking for a lady? Wow, that was a loud one. Surely you had to hear that one. I can't figure out where he is, but there's a lot of tall grass between where I want to be and where he is. That is a marmot. Yes. I hope you can hear my marmot on the radio. Fweet, fweet. Where are you, Mahdi? I think he's in that little ravine. I can't see him, but I can hear him. I can hear him when he whistles. Did he hear me? I think he stopped whistling. Yeah, speaking of whistling, there is a mountain somewhere in the vicinity of Seattle. Now, there he goes again. Did you hear that? Fweet! That's a marmot. Where is that guy? I'm going back into the mushroom garden here. Where is he? Whistler Mountain is named Whistler Mountain because of all the marmots. And they're always making that noise. Fweet! That whistle sound. They're always whistling. All right. I'm in the mushroom garden trying to see. Oh my god. I think I know where he is. There's a den right on the outside corner of the prairie grass plots, kind of under where, right where that bat house is. And that Mahdi is probably just sticking his head out of his hole, and he's whistling. He's whistling for lady Mahdis. He wants some Mahdi love. He needs to get some Mahdi kisses. I wonder if we can sneak up here a little bit closer. I'm going to be making noise as I walk on stuff. I don't want him to see me because I want him to keep whistling. I really want to get this on audio. Come on, Mati, talk to me. Yeah, that den isn't... Oh, it's about 10 meters away. Come on, Mati. Give me some more whistles. I'm gonna crouch down and get low. I haven't heard him whistle again. He may have seen me coming. He may be hiding from me. I might be making too much noise. It's getting a little dark. Do I see something? No? Okay, I'm gonna back off. He has stopped whistling. I'm a little bit too close, I think. I'm gonna back off. Come on, whistle for me some more, Mati. Ow, that was my wrist. Alright, what was I talking about? Mats? Whistler Mountain? Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where Whistler is. Maybe it's in Vancouver. I don't know. To me, Seattle and Vancouver are kind of the same thing in my brain, even though I realize that they're entirely different countries. But somewhere around there, you got a mountain named Whistler, and it's called Whistler. There's a big ski thing there to go, place to go skiing, ski resort. And it's called Whistler because of all the Mats. Now I'm really hoping that we got some of those on, quote, tape, end quote. I would sure love to have some Mati whistles. Hope you got to hear those. That's cool. I'm walking down the road towards the Mulhall's property. I'm pretty close to the gate. And I'm looking over there at that corner of the prairie grass plot garden. And I don't know. I don't see anything. But that's where he was. I triangulated his sound. Moving around enough, I could tell that that's where it was coming from. Oh, well. I think... I'm smelling flowers. I wonder if he saw me or heard me coming and got spooked. Sorry, buddy. You just keep whistling. Get some girlfriend Matis up in here. Yeah, he's a Mati like me. Likes to have girlfriends. All right, well, it is getting dark. The sun has gone down. Should probably get out of here. I gotta walk, traverse some mud, and there's some big old turkey tracks in the mud right here. I think we know who's been making those. That big old Tom Turkey has been walking around here. He owns this place. Turkeys that own Harrenhaven. They're so good. They're so fun. Oh, yeah, if I never mentioned it, the prairie grass garden... This big garden, it's got a whole bunch of different plots and lots of different samples of prairie grass, the kind of grass that was on the prairies back way back then. And this is pretty much prairie state, living here in Nebraska. It's prairie town central, and everybody's into prairie grass. I wish that marmot would start whistling again. Oh, well. I guess he stopped at just as good a time as any, because not only have I run out of light, I have run out of time. Which means I have to say something like, you have been listening to the Dubious Marmot Whistling Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. Tune in tomorrow and every day after that for more exciting Mati action and other dudes like goslings. I gotta go.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
This スイズ DJ クーマタ、ウェルカムトゥーマイヨの